తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః శ్రీ చైతన్యో విశ్వం వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీకాపదకమలం శ్రీరూపం సాగర జాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం నటం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం హరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలితా శ్రీశాఖాన్వితం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీన బంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత పాదాయ కృష్ణ కృష్ణాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణి జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసవి గౌర భక్త వృంద
very important chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is chapter 12, Bhakti Yoga, and devotional service. Kleshodikatarastesham avyakta sattachetasam avyaktahi gatir dukkham dehavadbhi ravapyate. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. We just recap the background. So in the first verse, Arjuna asks a question whether worshipping the personal form is perfect or whether worshipping the impersonal, unmanifested form is perfect, which is the right thing to do. And Lord Krishna replies in second verse that worshipping the personal form is the perfect process. And then further next second two verses, that is third and fourth verses, Lord Krishna further clarifies on that point that what is the difficulty in, you know, worshipping the unmanifested form. So then he mentioned that, you know, it is you have to, in the translation you can see, those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engage in the welfare of all, at last achieving. We can understand from the translation itself how difficult this part is. There are so many conditions. The first is those who fully worship the unmanifested. And then the controlling the senses. And equally disposed to everyone. Engage in the welfare of all. There are so many things. Then at last, after doing all these things, he may achieve Lord Krishna. So this is what is mentioned in the earlier verse. And now in this particular verse, there is a further clarification on this, that why one should worship the personal form. That is, for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal picture of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada differentiates between these two processes. Prabhupada starts with the difference between the Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. And in the entire purport, Prabhupada mentions many points wherein how difficult this particular process is. So there's one point Prabhupada says that ultimately bring one to the same goal, after practicing Jnana Yoga. But in case of Bhakti Yoga, it is a direct process. It is a direct service to Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada mentioned direct couple of times. It's a direct process. And it is easier process and very natural. So this we can understand from the process of Bhakti. See how we all have come to Bhakti in this particular association. If we just think about that, we can understand that the whatever is mentioned, the nine stages, we all have come through that. That is Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha. We had little faith, and because of that faith, we got association of sadhus, some devotees must have met us. Then Bhajana Kriya, we started attending programs, started chanting. So that way, then the anartha nivritti, that is, all our negative traits, lust, greed, angry, envy, it's a long drawn process. So this process is going to purify us of all these shed vairis. There is the six enemies. So we can see it is very natural and very straightforward process. Just being the association of devotees, all these things automatically happen. Unless we stop attending programs or stop taking association of devotees. Otherwise, it's Prabhupada suggests that, we have to be in this boat, we should not jump out of the boat. Just by staying there, by seeing the devotees, by taking association of sadhus, we get purified. It is such a natural process. Whereas the process of Jnana Yoga, there are so many obstacles or difficulties. There are twice the trouble is mentioned. There is one is word, the first is, first word itself is trouble, klesha. And there is one more trouble, that is dukkham. The two times the trouble is there. So, and there are so many things one should follow before when we take up this Jnana Yoga path. And it is difficult to theoretically understand that we are not this body. This is the point mentioned in the purport. And if you have to take up the detailed study, then we have to learn various scriptures like Upanishads. And also, we may have to learn the necessary language. If you have to take up the detailed study, then we may have to learn Sanskrit. And it is Prabhupada's mercy that we have all these books in English, and which are coming from the parampara actually. Otherwise, we will find books related to, the worship of unmanifested forms. There are so many Mayavadi books we can find in English also, but we don't know whether they are really bona fide. But here, by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have all these books which are authorized, which are bona fide in English language. Suppose if someone really want to understand, and if they want to, read, you know, go through this Jnana Yoga process, wherein there are a lot of study of the scriptures like Upanishad. So if you have to understand them clearly, then you need to understand Sanskrit language. You know, I was discussing a few months ago when I was in Pune with one Ayurvedic Pandit. You know, he is practicing Ayurveda for so many years. He's a very old person. And I asked him, you know, I was finding it, you know, he's very knowledgeable, and I asked him, you know, how you learned all these things. And he studied Ayurveda in Varanasi, in, you know, Banaras, that is where he studied. And before studying, he said that I have to study for Sanskrit for 12 years, the language, because whatever is mentioned there, if you want to really understand, then you have to have a thorough knowledge of Sanskrit. Without that, it is difficult to understand these the prescriptions which are mentioned there. It is not very easy to understand. And he was mentioning nowadays, you know, many people take interest when I explain to them, and they want to learn from me. But when I mention to them, you have to learn Sanskrit first, they just stop there. So this is one particular branch of Vedic knowledge, Ayurveda. Ayurveda is from Atharva Veda. We have four Vedas: Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, and Atharva Veda. Atharva Veda is, you know, this Yajur, you know, this Ayurveda is one of the Upaveda, sub Vedas of Atharva Veda. And to study, understand this particular aspect of that, so you have to study Sanskrit so much in detail. And if you really want to understand who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it is so complex in this process, because there are so many Puranas, so you may have to study all of them. And you may have to study so many things, then you come to conclusion, yes, this is Supreme. So, you know, it is said that neti neti, this is not that. So when they will go to every item, whether this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether this is the ultimate. So then finally they come to the conclusion. It is like, if you want to know who is our Father, there are two ways we can follow, understand. One is, just ask the mother, and whatever mother says, just accept it. Or, start checking the DNAs of all neighbors, and you know, all whom, and then conclude, you know, he is not, then we may reach. It is too complex a process and too impractical. So that is what Prabhupada mentions here. This is a very complex process. And we follow the simple process of Bhakti Yoga, wherein we have authentic scriptures like Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, nectar of devotion, nectar of instructions. And still, if you have time, we can read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So many scriptures are there. It is all, you know, the pure bhakti. And the process of bhakti through Archa Vigraha Seva, that is one point is mentioned. Worship of Archa Vigraha. When we worship the deity form, you know, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that at least, you know, we get that our mind is, you know, accustomed to believe that, you know, this is the form. At least we have some form in our mind. We get attached to the form. And this deity worship is not just idol worship, as many people believe, many religions believe. Many leading religions of the world believe that they don't believe in idol. Some of the religions, we know about them, we don't want to name them. So they just reject completely the, you know, this worship of deity form. And why is this? So it is because, you know, there are, we can understand, there are 400,000 human species. There are various types of, you know, individuals. You know, these species are depending on the influence of three modes of material nature, that is, influence of sattva guna, rajo guna and tamo guna, mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. And different proportions, when mixed together, we can find different varieties. It's like mixing of three colors, three primary colors, red, yellow and blue, to get innumerable number of colors. So that is how we see varieties. We all individuals are different, and particularly when we see different followers of different religions in the world, their thinking is different. So depending on the different mentalities, so different types of worships are available. And as the Kali Yuga progresses, we find that more and more people are getting attracted to this kind of religious practices. And it is really mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we find the process of bhakti is also growing in one side. Even though there is other side, there is a degradation, but one side the process of bhakti is also growing. And about this Archa Vigraha, we can just discuss about one particular pastime, you know, how powerful the Archa Vigraha worship can be. This is of, you know, this is very related to the Prabhupada nectar we read today about chanting of Narasimha Deva prayers. So this is about the Narasimha Deva in Sridham Mayapur. So it was observed there, when they established ISKCON temple, there were many, you know, decoys in the region. They were coming and attacking the temple. And they thought that these deities are made of, you know, the jewels, everything, whatever is put. Even though in ISKCON, you know, we generally don't use the real gold. Very rarely it is used. It is normally the, you know, the imitations are used actually. Because it is very difficult to maintain real gold if we use. So it is as a practical point, it is a simple, you know, the jewelry. But these decoys used to think, because so many foreigners used to come there, and they used to think that this must be real gold, and they used to come and attack and take those, and, you know, so many trouble they used to create. So there's severe attacks. Even they attack devotees, so many things happen. At that time it was decided that they have to, you know, install Lord Narasimha Dev there, Ugra Narasimha. They decided to, you know, install the Ugra Narasimha deity. And then they started, you know, searching for this deity, where this deity is available, who made these deities. And they come to know that, you know, in South India, there are some, you know, these sculptors are called Stapatis, and who can make these deities. And they contacted some of them. And when they described, when the devotee who, you know, approached them, we described that this is how the form should be. This is Ugra Narasimha. And these Stapatis were saying, do you understand how complex to worship this form? And what kind of standard you have to maintain? And what kind of priests are required to, you know, worship these deities? These are not simple deities. Because any deity carving, it is a shastra actually. It is a Shilpa Shastra. It's a very detailed science. And they know how it is formed, various formations, the size, and even the selection of stone is a very long-run process. The selection of stone, it takes sometimes 6 months, 1 year, 2 years for an expert sculptor to find the stone for carving these deities. Because they need a live stone. And they have symptoms of a live stone. It should not be a dead stone. So they have to select the stone, and then there's a long run process, and then they have to carve the deities. So then initially refused, and then one is Tapati, he was, when he was explained, when devotees are really begging them, you know, please carve these deities for us. And at that time he said, you know, I cannot take decision on this. I have to check up with my guru. So he consulted, you know, Kanchi Swamiji. And Swamiji said that, you know, I will tell you tomorrow about this. You contact me next day. And then he was meditating on that, and he next day he said, that you can carve these pieces for them. And he also, the sculptor also got in his dream that he should carve these deities, he should take up this carving of deities. And he carved the deities. And the devotees are following up, you know, whether the deity is ready. And they said that how long you take. He said that first is I have to suck the stone which is live. And then I can start the process. So almost he took more than 6 months to find the stone, and then he started carving the deity. And then these deities were shifted to Shiga Mayapur. In between also these deities performed many pastimes in that place itself. He had to, you know, really call those devotees, please take this Narasimhadev deity here. You know, it was difficult for him to keep those deities there. And then it was shifted to Shiga Mayapur, and they had installed these deities. And after that, all these defiles attacks, everything stopped. And these deities are worshipped by two great devotees. There is one is Pankajani Prabhu and Jananivas Prabhu. These are two twin brothers, very amazing devotees. And they have so many realizations, so many pastimes with these deities. So, it is, you know, one of the pastimes, and we can see when we worship deity, we can see so many such pastimes. We know about this pastime of, we can just discuss about the pastime of how Lord Jagannath Baldev Subhadra reached USA. So this also very nice event when Prabhupada's disciple Malati Mataji went to a store for buying some things. So in a gift shop, she found this dolls. It is, she got only one doll, and then she was showing it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I found this, you know, in the gift shop. And Prabhupada said, "Oh, this is Jagannath beauty. There may be two more, you know, dolls like this. You just go back and find out." And she went back and she saw she could get two more also. That is Baldev Subhadra. The small deities. It is because pure devotee is present. Otherwise it is completely, you know, it is the arrangement of the Lord. How this Malati Mataji, who don't know what this is, she thought it is just a doll, and Prabhupada, the pure devotee, is getting these deities in USA after establishing International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And then this Malati Mataji's husband is a very expert carpenter. He was having the carpentry skills. And Prabhupada said that, since you know carpentry, why don't you carve the big deities from this? And Shamsundar Prabhu took all the pain and he, you know, carved these big deities. And with that, they started Rath Yatra in USA. And we can see many such, you know, stories related to deity to understand that these deities are really live. They are not just idle. Even we can see from the Sakshi Gopal, the pastime wherein we have enacted the drama last year, I believe. Okay. So there is one old man who was on a pilgrimage. He promises to give his daughter to a young man who was helping him in front of these deities. And later, when he returned back, he said that, you know, I am going to, you know, give my daughter to this particular the Brahmana, very nice Brahmana boy. At that time, his son opposed. How you can give? You just see our status, and what is he? He's such a poor person. How we can do that? And he said this old Brahmana was saying that, you know, I have assured him in front of the deities. And then the conversation takes place. And after that they agree that they have one proof, one witness to this agreement. That is the deity, the Sakshi Gopal. And he was witness to these discussions. And it is agreed that if that Gopal comes here, and then we can decide on that. And this young Brahmana, he go and approach the deity, and he approaches, and deity agree to come, and it is the agreement between them that the moment you look back, then there I'm going to stop. This is what deity told him personally. And then he was coming, and at a particular point when he was reaching the, you know, that village, then he stopped and he looked back, and the deity stopped there. And that is where we can see Sakshi Gopal temple now. This is very close to Jagannath Puri. I happened to visit this place. Wonderful deity. This is in between Bhuvaneshwar and Jagannath Puri. This place comes, Sakshi Gopal's place. I don't remember the name of the place. So deity reciprocates, deity can walk. And we can see from Chaitanya Leela, where, you know, the deity is coming and coming out and dancing. And, you know, the actual Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gaur Nithai, both were entering into deity, these pastimes. So in one of the tasks, the devotee was discussing. So with this we can understand that the deity is not idle, it is life. And it all depends on how we approach deity. It depends on our consciousness. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham, mama vartmanu vartante manushya bhakta sarvashaha. The way you approach me, I will reciprocate accordingly. It depends on our faith. If you think that, you know, this is a stone, this is a wood, then it will reciprocate as a stone and as a wood only. But if you worship as a deity, the deity reciprocates. And many devotees may have realization of this. And devotees, being humble, normally devotees don't discuss these pastimes, but, you know, there are so many devotees have this realization of their deities and how they reciprocate. And there is one more point, you know, Prabhupada mentions there are some, simply by hearing the glories and simply by eating the remnants, the devotional service is so wonderful. Just attending the program, having prasadam and leaving, there is also devotional service. Where is the path? Where is the process? It can be so simple. Now just coming and having prasad and living, and there is a devotional service. That can also be devotional service. Of course, we should not continue the process. We can become more serious devotees by reading the scripture, by hearing seriously. There are so many things we can follow next. We should not just remain as a prasadam devotee. So we can progress beyond that. But the devotional service, the process is so simple and so powerful. Because many people, very, very, very difficult to preach. We can see if anybody takes up devotional service, we'll find that in one house, one person takes up devotional service. Somebody by causeless mercy, one person takes up devotional service. He starts attending program. Maybe somebody must have given him some prasad. He must have heard something and he got attracted. And the moment that happens, then he discusses that, and the other members also, you know, get attracted to that. And sometimes, you know, it is reverse thing also happens. Some people, you know, the moment, suppose if a husband wife, and if a husband gets attracted to Krishna consciousness, and then sometimes wife is worried, you know, what will happen to this person? Because they will see so many sadhus coming and all, so my husband also will not leave and then become a sadhu. And if your wife becomes a serious devotee, sometimes husband thinks, you know, she is becoming too serious. She gets worried. And if both become devotees, then the children get worried sometimes. What is happening to them? They are not taking care of us. Earlier they used to take us out for movies, for restaurants, and nowadays they are just going and just started chanting. So, and when all become devotees, then the relatives become concerned, you know, what happens to these people. And devotees also become, you know, concerned, then the, you know, whole community becomes concerned. And whole community start becoming Krishna conscious. Sometimes the governments are scared, you know, what is happening here. These people are taking something different path. So, we can see that, you know, so much of oppositions when we take up devotional service. But the path is so powerful, and so because of the, you know, the purity of the devotees and the causeless mercy, and we can find that we can still practice. It is still possible. That's how we can see so many wonderful families practicing Krishna consciousness. And about the prasadam, we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 4 to 4, 5, 6, we can see pastimes of Narada Muni. Narada Muni in his earlier life was just the son of a maid servant. And this maid servant was serving the Bhakti Vedantas, you know, the great devotees. And then she used to have remnants of the food offered to these sadhus. And just by having remnants, and by hearing to these, the great, great transcendentalists, so his life completely changed. And then when he was very young, he lost his mother. And that can be taken as a major reverse. The 5-year-old boy, because he heard from the transcendentalists and also took their remnants, he could get that knowledge to ask, you know, what I should be doing. So then he get the, you know, then he started practicing Krishna consciousness. And then in the next life he become Narada Muni. And we can see the greatness of Narada. There are so many devotees. He is the guru of so many great devotees. He preached to so many people like Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. And he is also the guru of Vyasadeva, who compiled all these transcendental literatures. And Vyasadeva, when he compiled all the Vedas, all the Upanishads, all everything, all the Vedic literature, he was distressed. And then he approached Narada Muni. At that time, in the conversation, Narada Muni said that, you know, your cause of distress is that you have given a very complex path of Dharma Artha Kama Moksha, the Purusharthas, the process of, you know, the fourfold process of and coming to the stage of moksha. It's too complex. But you never mention direct process. You have not mentioned anything about Lord Krishna's glory. And he is the cause of all causes. Vedaisha sarvera hameva vedyaha. So from all the Vedas, I am to be known, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So you have not mentioned anything about Lord Krishna directly. So then he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of all the Vedic knowledge. And it is pure, it is transcendental. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that if you just read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, nectar of devotion and nectar of instruction, that is enough. You can achieve perfection. And he also quoted, mentioned one place wherein just if you read first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you understand and if you follow that in your life, you can go back home, back to Godhead. And what to speak of one canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? If you see each verse of, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all these scriptures are so powerful. Last week we were discussing one particular verse of Shikshastakam. Out of the 8 verses, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compiled, that is, Trinadapi Sunichena, Karorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. This one verse, if we understand and if we follow this verse in our life, we can perfect our life. In this very life, we can go back home, back to Godhead. So Trinadati Sunichena, it is be as humble as blade of grass. And Tarori Vasahishkuna, be as tolerant as a tree. Amani Navanadena, don't expect any respect from others and give full respect to others. And in that mood, Kirtaniya Sadahari, always chant the holy name. So, if this is such a wonderful formula, we can see such formulas throughout these scriptures. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharmam Parityajya Mametam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshe Icchami Maha Shuchata. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. And I can deliver you from all sinful reactions. So, this is the assurance we can see throughout the scriptures. And if you see any other part, say we all have various material educations. We may have expertise in some particular subject, some engineering, some medical, and in that also there are so many subjects. We can see in medical, every limb, every part of the body, there is a specialist. You can see from head to, you know, our the leg, the toes, we have for every part there is an expert, there is some expert, an expertise field. And wherever expertise is not there, which is not required, then we have beauticians to beautify that. Like, you know, the male, I don't think doctor is required, but just male. And you can see male palace. I was surprised to see that board. Male palace and big shop. And body shop. So wonderful, you know. So wherever, you know, doctor falls short of, we have some other, you know, the process. And none of these studies, say, if you take any particular subject, some anatomy or, you know, physiotherapy, or so many subjects, is it possible that you take one particular formula or one particular concept from that subject and become master of that subject? Is it possible in any other subject? Say, suppose engineering, if somebody is studying, you know. So other day we were discussing about mechanical engineering. In that there are so many subjects, applied mechanics. In that you find one particular formula. You study that formula thoroughly and you become expert in that subject. You can only just the small portion. The engineering itself is such a small portion of the complete knowledge. Complete material knowledge. Such a small subject. In that, if you take some formula, is it possible? But you can see the beauty of transcendental literature is, you take one verse, you can achieve perfection. It is so, so amazing, you know, so, so much contrast between the material subjects and the spiritual subjects. Of course, in Jnana Yoga, it is transcendental subjects, Prabhupada mentioned. But in that also it is so complex, because we have so vast literatures. Literature are so vast. And if you have to dig out these literatures and try to understand, see, these verses are so complex sometimes to understand. You can see first verse of, you know, we devotees are exposed to only few Upanishads. That Prabhupada thought, you know, these are the Upanishads which are necessary. Ishopanishads. Om Purnam Idam, Om Purnam Adam, you know, this verse, and we start. So this is subject to so many interpretations. Anybody can interpret in their own way. It is not very easy to understand these Upanishads. And Vedanta Sutra is also not very easy. Atato Brahma Jijnasa means what? So the definition of Atato Brahma Jijnasa, when we see as a bhakti, as a process, is quite different compared to what a Mayavadi sannyasi will describe what is Atato Brahma Jijnasa. He will directly say, see, Brahma, Brahman, you have to go to Brahman, you have to merge into Brahman. So that is how they go. And these three processes, that is, the process of Brahman realization, process of Paramatma realization, and process of Bhagwan realization, all the three processes are authorized processes for different types of people. But here, in this particular chapter, or in entire Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada clearly mentions that the Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate process, and that we can understand by seeing how complex the other processes are. And in the yoga ladder, we can see the person starts with Karma Yoga, and basically initially Karma, then Karma Yoga. In that also there are different types: Akama Karma Yoga, Sakama Karma Yoga. There are so many processes, and then he may not know, the person may not know who is searching for the absolute truth, but he is in the process of searching happiness in his life. You know, a sincere person is a Sukritina. In the Bhagavad Gita there are four types of people who approach Krishna through four types, that is Artho Jijnyasu Arthartha Jnani. There's one who is distressed, one who is looking for wealth, one who is looking for knowledge, one who is inquisitive. There are four types of people who approach these paths. So initially they start with maybe Karma Yoga, then Jnana Yoga, try to understand what is what, and then get completely confused, and then maybe now I want to just sit quiet and start meditation, Jnana Yoga. Then after meditation he may get some intuition or some mercy of when he is sincerely doing that process, and then he may come in the association of devotees, and he may take up the bhakti process. So bhakti is the ultimate process. In out of the three realizations also, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Eti Shadyate, the three processes, Bhagavan realization is the ultimate process. And I was hearing in one of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya when he was visiting South India, where he was there for 4 months in Srirangam, a place called Srirangam, where Lord Ranganath's temple is there, beautiful Lord, deity of Lord Ranganath, around 14-15 feet in length, and resting on a Ananta Shesha, actually, wonderful beauty, a beautiful deity. And Mahaprabhu used to visit and take darshan of these deities every day for 4 months in Chaturmasya period. And when he was visiting, he used to see one Brahmana who was, every day he was coming and he was reciting Bhagavad Gita. He was reciting full 18 verses of Bhagavad Gita. That is, all the 700 verses, every day he used to recite. And we know the recitation of Bhagavad Gita, it takes around 3 to 3.5 hours if he, recites in a normal course. And this devotee, he was regularly reciting, and Mahaprabhu was seeing. And when he was reciting, he was not very good in pronunciation. And he was not reciting properly. And there were so many other, the learned Brahmanas, they used to criticize him. They used to really, say what, and they used to laugh at him. But this Brahmana was not at all disturbed. He was just fully concentrating, and he was reading this Bhagavad Gita every day. And when he was reading, he was in ecstasy. He was in ecstasy. All the symptoms of ecstasy, his body was trembling, and he was getting, tears in his eyes, ashru. So all these different symptoms Mahaprabhu used to see. And because even though he was criticized by so many people, he was not even considering them, or he was not even influenced by those kind of things. And then Mahaprabhu asked him, what is that you realize when you chant these verses? At that time he said that, and what inspires you to chant these verses? At that time he explains that, I don't know how to read properly. I'm trying to read these verses because my spiritual master, instructed me to read these verses every day. and I'm reading that. I'm just following the instructions of my spiritual master. And when I read, and what happens, he said, you know, when I read, every page when I read, I see Krishna. And I see, you know, his, whatever the way my guru, you know, described Krishna is, I'm able to see Krishna. At that time, Mahaprabhu embraced him and said that, you know, you have achieved perfection. And so we can see, understand from this that Mahaprabhu is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So just by reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita, that too not announcing, you know, not pronouncing properly, one can achieve perfection, and one can, the Ashtavikaras, that is ecstasy, you know, the symbols of ecstasy, one gets when he is at the very highest level of bhakti, that is prema bhakti. So he achieves that level, bhava bhakti and prema bhakti level, just by reciting Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So we can see the power of these transcendental literatures. And we can see from the examples of various acharyas like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, we can see their background. They were such great scholars, learned brahmanas, and they were, you know, ministers in very high position. When they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they just surrendered to Mahaprabhu. And they never wasted a single moment in speculating any scriptures. They just followed instructions of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu instructed them to find all the places of pastimes in Vrindavan. And they did that. And we can see the literatures, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ultimate literature, wherein we can see, you know, that each verse, each instruction is so powerful, and it is a pure bhakti. And sometimes we find the devotees also, even when they are beginning devotional service, when somebody very highly knowledgeable scholar, somebody speaks very high philosophy, they get influenced by these talks. And in that case, what we should do is, we should study our scriptures. And we should understand the background of these acharyas, what their level is. And then we will not get influenced by these talks. Recently I was conversing with one devotee, and who mentioned, I have one colleague, he is very learned, very knowledgeable. You know, he has got a very long hair. And he talks really, you know, very knowledgeable, he was saying. And then also he said that, you know, when I go to these temples and all, I hear some lectures and all, I find that these are nothing. They're very simple. I can give hours and hours of lecture. So it is not the knowledge which counts. It is not what you speak and what you have studied. It is understanding the absolute truth. And whether you are moving in the right path, that is most important. And that, the direction, the conviction we can get when we read the scriptures, when we are attached to Srimad Bhagavatam, when we are attached to Srimad Bhagavad Gita, when we do our devotional service very nicely. You know, last week, Devotee Prabhu was giving class, he was mentioning why we come, why we go to temple, why we attend the programs. It is for one purpose, that is glorification of Krishna. The glorification is the process to purify ourselves. And in this verse, it is very clearly mentioned that, you know, Prabhupada says that we should never encourage at any time, especially in this age, to take up this process. And it is not advised by Lord Krishna himself. So, we can understand that the process of bhakti is the ultimate path for self-realization. And we are so fortunate to be in the association of devotees, somehow by causeless mercy to come into association of devotees and trying to follow Krishna consciousness movement. And this moment is glorious. We can see the people who have never heard of Krishna, they don't know what is. So those people, when they chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, they get purified and they can get so much of realization. And Prabhupada, you know, there was one conference wherein there were a lot of the Vedic scholars who attended, and Prabhupada was to deliver a lecture also. And at that time, Prabhupada said that, you know, the disciple from America, you know, who has taken up Krishna consciousness, you know, she can recite Ishopanishad verses from Vedic literature, Ishopanishad. And she suggested, Mataji's name was Kaushalya Mataji. Kaushalya, please recite these verses. And Kaushalya Mataji was trembling because she knew only 6 verses of Ishopanishad. There are totally 19 verses. So how to? And she started with Purnamada, Purnaidam, you know, from there he started. And she was thinking in the mind that, you know, this, my recitation should not become apurna in the process. It should not stop in between. She started reciting, and after, while she was just completing 6 words, Prabhupada said, just stop. So, and then he started glorifying devotee. At that time, somebody said that, you know, some expert who was very good in, you know, reciting the verses, he said that her pronunciation of mantra is not right. The pronunciation is not correct. Yes, I agree. Her pronunciation is not good. But see her enunciation. Don't see pronunciation. Somebody can pronounce very nicely, very beautifully, very wonderfully, all very verses. But if you don't have enunciation, you just see their life. Their lifestyle is totally different than our Vedic lifestyle, and they have left everything and taken up Krishna consciousness. So we have to see how powerful we can, you know, we get convinced when we see, you know, the people from different part of the world, when we see they take up Krishna consciousness so seriously, we see the power of this process of bhakti. It is so amazing. I'll just stop here. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If there is any comments, any additions, any questions, devotees are there. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thanks for a wonderful lecture. I had a small doubt. Brahman realization, Paramatma realization and Bhagavan realization, all three lead to the same. But here it says every living soul is partially independent, and one should know for certain that this unmanifested realization is against the nature of the spiritual bliss, and it can only lead to eternal and knowledgeable aspects. So when they reach to the same, then how can it be less in some aspect?
What in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, Vadanti tat sattva vidat sattvam jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan yeti shatyate. So there are three realizations, that is, to know the absolute truth. There are three paths. So all the three paths leads to knowing the absolute truth. Absolute truth as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. And the destination of all the three transcendentalists, all the three paths are transcendental paths. But the destination is different. So like the Brahman realization, the person who practices that, he will reach up to the Brahman effulgence. which is effulgence of Lord Krishna. He just merged into Brahman. And Paramatma realization. In these two processes, the two aspects of Satchidananda, we have three, that is Sat, Chit and Ananda, which is the eternal position of the spirit soul, Satchidananda. So these two processes can take us up to Sat and Chit part. Whereas Bhagavan realization, that is the process of bhakti, can take us to Bhagavan. So these are the three different paths, and leading to the three, you know, with the three processes. So that way Bhagavan realization is the ultimate perfection. Because we can see from the scriptures that ultimately the worshipping Krishna is the ultimate process. That is what we understand from all the scriptures. And Krishna is the cause of all causes. And the problems with other two paths also we can understand. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So just curiosity, yogi who meditate on Paramatma, do they actually see the Paramatma form of the Lord in their heart? And if that is so, can they see the Paramatma in other hearts also?
The yogi, the process is, the difficulty in this particular path is when they achieve various siddhis, and they get the power to, you know, say go to any particular part of up to, they can reach to up to the Vaikuntha Loka if they desire so. And about this seeing Paramatma in others, they get the realization. And the seeing, actually, I'm not very sure whether able to see the Paramatma. They can realize that the Paramatma is present. Yes, sir. But the realization that Paramatma is there, we also theoretically accept that Paramatma is within. And it is described in the Vedas, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that you know, how beautiful the form is. Are we able to see that Paramatma? We accept that Paramatma is there because scripture says. But whether we have the realization. Hare Krishna. So there is no service aspect there. It is the process of meditation. So that is why in the process of bhakti there is a service. The Prabhupada mentioned bhakti is not just devotion. It's a devotional service. Prabhu can add something.
Prabhupada always mentioned Paramatma realization, or rather Prabhupada states that Paramatma is the localized aspect of Krishna. So in one conversation I remember, when Prabhupada was asked whether the yogi would have service, Prabhupada said that just like Paramatma is localized, the yogi is also localized. Because then his service is restricted, so to speak, to meditating the form of the Lord as described in Bhagavatam, the four-handed feature of the Lord within his heart. That is why Prabhupada said, I could have sat down under a tree to perform devotional service or become a yogi and meditate on the Lord. But then the full aspect of Bhagavan realization
to really completely pacify the hearts of the living entities comes when one is engaged completely in service to the Lord. So bhakti is not localized. That's why, because Bhagavan teacher is the most complete teacher, so the bhakti teacher also correspondingly becomes the most energetic and the most encompassing teacher of service. So I hope that helps. So localized means you also become localized. Impersonal means you also become impersonal. And of course Bhagavan doesn't mean you become Bhagavan, but it actually means that in full form, in full opulences, all varieties of service become available for the devotee. That's why Prabhupada ends the purport by saying that it is advised by Krishna himself that bhakti is the most pleasing, it is the most sublime, but it is the most joyous and the most engaging process of all. And that's why it can appear easy, and at the same time it is the highest process. Thank you, Prabhupada.
There is nothing you can do. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.